Hi, everyone. Welcome to Keeping a Notebook, a podcast on writing. I'm Nina LaCour. Once a week when I was around 16, I would ride the BART train across the bay from my tiny suburban town to San Francisco. I'd emerge from underground into the vibrant heart of downtown, into a crowd of business people in suits and heels who impressed me so much that I dreamed, for a few years at least, that I might want to be one of them someday. I would make my way to a modest old building on Market Street, sign in with the guard at the desk, and ride the elevator up to the bare bones but bustling office of a youth newspaper. It was always full of young people, perched on the arms of worn easy chairs and crowded onto couches, huddled together or scribbling in notebooks with headphones on. They were slam poets and young activists and budding investigative reporters. I was there because one of the adults who ran the paper, a woman named Cowie Kim, had offered to help me with my short stories and poems. Each week, I went to see her and I brought her something new. And then the next week, Cowie would hand it back, marked up with her pen. We'd talk about them. Sometimes, she'd set me up with another teenager or two and we'd share our poems. At the end of our time together, she'd send me off with a photocopy of something to read. Either our tastes were perfectly aligned, or I admired her so much that I was predisposed to love anything she asked me to read. Through Cowie, I discovered Cherie Moraga plays and Frank O'Hara poems, Deborah Eisenberg's short stories, and Angels in America. And one week, on Keeping a Notebook by Joan Didion, after which I've named this podcast. I read On Keeping a Notebook breathlessly on the BART ride home. I read it over and over again, ordered the collection slouching toward Bethlehem on my next shift at the independent bookstore where I worked, and then the White Album after that. I had never read writing like hers before, such confident language juxtaposed with questions and doubts in deep uncertainty, and full of specific details, many of which I didn't understand. What was a crepe de chine wrapper? In On Keeping a Notebook, Didion writes on one hand about the futility of the notes we often make. And it's true. These phrases and descriptions that seem full of promise in the moment often don't make much sense later on. But she also writes this. I think we are well advised to keep on nodding terms with the people we used to be, whether we find them attractive company or not. Otherwise, they turn up unannounced and surprise us, come hammering on the mind's door at 4 a.m. of a bad night, and demand to know who deserted them, who betrayed them, who is going to make amends. We forget all too soon the things we thought we could never forget. We forget the loves and the betrayals alike, forget what we whispered and what we screamed, forget who we were. I don't know about you, but I've gone for stretches of many months, even years, without keeping a notebook. And each time I've returned to writing, I've felt something in me come alive again. I notice things. Colors become more saturated, strangers more interesting. Even the packets of sugar on the restaurant tables feel full of meaning. And when I drop back into seeing the world this way and take note of it, I do remember the people I used to be. It had been so many years since I thought of that walk from the BART station to the youth newspaper headquarters and of Cowie Kim in her flowing clothing and nose ring handing me a stack of pages still warm from the copier. I hadn't even known I wanted to talk about it, but I started to plan this podcast episode and there it was. Nearly 20 years later, I can feel myself back here. The smell of the copier, the sound of it, the crunch of the stapler, the act of receiving what she had to give me. That girl I used to be, writing BART home and reading Joan Didion, wanted so badly to be a writer. She dreamed of the things I have now, writing for a living, walking into a bookstore and seeing the books she wrote on the shelves. How could she know that I would look back in time at her now and strive for what she had, stacks and stacks of notebooks, their pages bursting with observations and ideas, quiet hours to sit and write whatever came to her purely for the love of the process and the way the words sounded when she read them aloud to herself. The trembling, insatiable, ecstatic rush of near daily inspiration. I want it back. Like so many of us, I have felt crushed by the state of our country, the brutality that our government is inflicting on families at the border and the children in camps, systemic racism, poisonous drinking water, the opioid epidemic, the devastation in Puerto Rico and other communities, isolationism and turning our backs on our allies while legitimizing tyrannical governments, the stripping of environmental regulations and human rights, gun violence and healthcare crises, the relentless lies and corruption and cruelty. I could go on and on. We're in a dark time. I've been right there with many of you, taking action with phone calls and donations, but I've also allowed myself to lose months worth of creativity to scrolling and retweeting and feeling angry and helpless. But then, a few weeks ago, during one of the many inconceivable acts of this administration, I forced myself to write again, and it felt so good. In difficult times, it helps to know what keeps us tethered to ourselves. What keeps us inspired and curious and alive. For me, that has always been writing. And getting back to myself in this way led me to wonder this. What if those of us who might lose ourselves in despair at the state of our country and our world instead summoned all of our energy and started making the best work of our lives? What if we actually embarked upon all the projects we've dreamed of doing and lived more boldly and took more risks and realized that now is our time to live with as much purpose and creativity and perseverance and generosity and strength and love as we can? I'm going to try it. Writing is my constant, so I'll give it the attention it deserves. And I'm also teaching a new class, which I'm so excited about, not only to help fellow writers find their ways through their stories, but just as much to push myself and engage more deeply in my own understandings of my craft. And now this, starting a podcast, which has been one of those long-shot dreams I never thought I'd actually get to do. I realized that it wasn't a matter of getting to do it, after all. It was a matter of allowing myself to. I think I've been waiting for permission to do all these things I've been wanting. What is it about being a human in this particular time and place in the world that leads so many of us to feel like staring for hours at our phones is an acceptable use of our time, but that using those same hours to make something, to explore a dream or a passion, is not? So this podcast is for me because I've found that connecting to my passions and turning toward creative projects is the very best antidote to despair. And it's also for you, my fellow keepers of notebooks, my fellow dreamers and creators of things, because I have so many ideas about writing and creativity and living a purposeful life to explore with you. I'd love to hear your ideas too. I'll have a post on my Instagram especially for that, or you're welcome to send me an email through my website. I have so much planned for this first season. Some episodes will get deep into the specifics of crafting a story, answering questions about character and plot. Others will focus on the personal experiences and perspectives that we all bring to our work, and how to trust that what we're making is worthy of our time and of other people's attention. And we'll also talk about routines and rituals and ways to not only weave our creative practices into our daily lives, but also to prioritize them and make room for the kinds of explorations that will keep us moving forward. I'll be back on Monday with the next episode. For now, thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this, I would love it if you shared it with a friend and gave it a rating and a review so that other people can find it too. And perhaps most importantly, if you live in the US and are able to do so, please go vote on Tuesday. We all really need you to. I want to take a moment to extend my deepest thanks to my brother, Jules LaCour, for the music, my wife, Kristen Strobel, for the photograph, and my friend, Lindsay Moore, for the design. This season is edited by Sonics Podcasts. Until next week, you can find me at ninalacour.com and on Twitter and Instagram at Nina_LaCour. I'd love to hear from you.